if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 350 of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts, and as a special treat for this memorial episode of 350-50-nesses, we have planned precisely nothing special, haven't we, Coleman?
Hi!
Hi, Coleman!
I'm really, really busy lately. I don't know how I can get this across.
Yeah, no, why are you blaming Coleman? He's the only one that did any planning of any description.
The other one's Tim, by the way. So hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
A man who is just completely unable to stay quiet until he's introduced. Don't go making podcast editing easy on people.
Oh, no. Never.
Anywho, what have you been up to, chaps?
Work.
Jolly good. Tim?
Work, bit of play.
I also have been up to work. It's been great fun. And my new car has been stuck in Grimsby.
What's your car doing in Grimsby?
Well, I ordered a car. I've got a new car on the way.
What kind of car you got, Dan?
I've got an Audi A1.
Ooh, you posh.
I know, right? I've been practicing driving 6 inches from the car in front of his bumper for the past month. Now it's been quite exciting. If some reason, Audi, German car, got made in Spain. Okay, fine.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Love that.
Then it took about 3 weeks in its kind of gap year, travelling by train across Europe to the port of German portiness. Emden, there we go. Then it sat there for like 2 weeks. Then it finally could be bothered to get on the boat. And then it sat in Grimsby for the past week and a half.
Way.
I know, right? Having a wonderful time.
New car, though.
New car, I know.
New car smell.
It has the technology in it.
Excellent.
I'm quite looking forward to it, actually. First proper car I've got.
Good. Oh. What were you driving before?
It's a Flintstones. It's a Flintstones car. It gets a bit tiring.
Did Nintendo give you a special Labo kit?
Yes, they did. And they're like, just pronounce it correctly, please.
Sorry, Labio.
Labio, yeah, exactly. So yeah, so I have had a Flintstones car up till now.
Okay.
Yabba
dabba do.
Yabba dabba do, indeed.
Oh, I am just picturing you like going, you know, see you there, I'm just off to work, and then just getting out and
yabba dabba do.
No, but then into a cardboard Flintstone car, which then drives to work, making
actually what it is, if you would imagine what it is, it's actually more like, it's like a cardboard box on a set of braces, so it's more like a kind of a set of cardboard pants.
I like
so
the idea.
There's quite a lot of leg on show.
I like the idea that we finish the show and then Dan puts Hobnob out for the night, and then Hobnob goes in through the window and puts Dan out for the night, and then he's there banging on the door.
That's my cat, not a euphemism for anything.
Or a biscuit laying ceremony of some description.
Hey, no, I'd be up for a biscuit laying ceremony.
Well, you posh boys, you do get up to some strange things.
So to celebrate 350 episodes of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, we are making fun of Dan's car.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? You're having fun yet? Oh, yeah.
Now let's get on with it. I've got a real busy weekend coming up.
Alrighty, points of interest, a go-go then.
Yeah, no headlines this week, but we got loads of points of interest to get through. And interestingly, so when we've been talking about the Epic Store, it tends to come with, hey, the Epic Store have bought this exclusive. And that's kind of the same for the Shenmue 3 game. Sorry, Shenmue 3. Which, if you may remember, quite well documented in the past. It is a Kickstarter success story. It had extra funding that went along with that. And one of those reward tiers was to get a Steam key of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game is an Epic Store exclusive on
PC.
And
do you know what? They don't sell on the Epic Store.
What don't they sell on the Epic Store, Dan?
Steam keys.
Yes. So this has popped up before. Recently, we've had games that were originally sold on Steam and then became Epic Store exclusives, but they still honored the Steam releases, or the same with Kickstarter stories. They've still offered the honored the Steam key giveaway. In this case, they're not doing that, but they are offering refunds to anyone who doesn't want an Epic Store key. And interestingly, following on from that, it's not actually WiseNet that are going to be giving the refund. Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic, he came out and said, hey, Epic are going to be footing the bill for this.
Well, to be fair, it's not like they're short of a chuffing bob.
I mean, I don't know, that Fortnite's not doing too well, is it?
Oh,
I heard they only made $20 billion this
week.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Only $10 billion a second.
Only $19,999,999.95 this week. They're 5 cents down.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's a weird... These stories are very strange to me, these you ordered. I mean, can you imagine this, a Kickstarter game that's meant to come out on the PlayStation 4, and you've ordered your PlayStation 4 code, and then they go, actually, no, it's an Xbox exclusive. We're not going to give you your PlayStation 4 code.
It's not quite the same as that. I see what you're doing for the purpose of hyperbole, and I applaud that. The sensationalism, you know, that was a very clickbaity sentence, but sadly we're doing an audio podcast and you can't click a sentence.
No. That wasn't my point. I was saying the point I was trying to make is the jumping from one platform to another, but it's not really platforms. It's just launches in this case. So there is a difference there. I just think it's interesting as this kind of weird epic story keeps progressing in different titles and different behind, we get these behind the scene looks of what's happening, like how they deal with this, just throwing money at a problem. And would you believe it? Every time a problem arises, throw money at it. It goes away. it seems to work.
Yay, yeah. Capitalism.
Yay.
It's the way the system works. So, you know, hey, can't really fault them for doing it, I guess.
So are they basically, so they're issuing refunds essentially rather than saying, hey, look, do you want a refund or do you just want to get over yourself and have a Shenmue 3 key on Epic?
I believe what's happening is you get the option of an Epic Game Store key. And if you don't want the Epic Game Store key and you want to wait for, I don't know if it's a timed exclusive and it will come to Steam later, if you don't wish to play this on the Epic Game Store, then they will give you a refund.
I actually think it's a dick move on the part of the people who publishing is not the right word, but you know what I mean.
The people who made the decision of developing the game and have made the business decisions behind that. Yeah.
And actually, I think that should they, there is a slight bit of culpability on them to say, look, we've already promised our consumers it's going to be on Steam. Thanks, but no thanks.
Okay, but if the alternative is that they needed more crowdfunding to get them over the line in development...
They should have budgeted appropriately.
But I'm just asking, like, we know that's a problem with video game development. They did raise a lot of money. They didn't raise the total amount of money to develop it. It was argued that they didn't need any of that in the first place because they could have just, you know, had someone paid to develop it. Whatever your argument, you know, we spoke about that in the past. But is this... like the lesser of a possible couple of evils that this could have been. You know what I mean? Like, was this the best alternative? And it just meant, okay, we're, as you say, it's not even moving platforms. It's just moving to a different store. And I understand that's a contentious issue for some people at the moment, and some people don't want to go to that store. But that's why, like, the offer is, you know, it seems like it's in good faith, but you could also read it as a, well, do you want your bloody game or not type of thing, almost. You know, like,
well,
I can see how it would upset some people that had emotionally backed it in a Kickstarter, because people do get emotionally invested in stuff that they've invested in through Kickstarter and other crowdfunding platforms.
So, I think the thing is, it's for a number of people, it's a point of principle, right?
You said you were giving me this, that's what I gave you the money for.
Yeah, and it's a point of principle. Some people just don't like the way that Epic is doing business with their game store on the PC, and that's kind of, well, you know, fair enough. If that's the hill you want to pick to die on, more power to you, sir or madam. You know, it is what it is. And I think actually by offering these individuals a refund, I think that's probably the best thing they could do, or giving them the option of, hey, look, you know, if you do want to still have a key for it, then fine, go for it.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall where they say, we want to be exclusive. Oh, what about the Steam keys? Ah, you know, you can cancel those. What? We can't do that. A loyal Kickstarter. Oh, no, we'll just give you the money. It's fine. I want to see like how that
sack
decision.
Big sack of money just goes on the table.
Yeah. Money.
But yep. What about the... And then just another sack of money.
Stop them! Anyway, moving on. We've got a couple of delays this week. Mere weeks after we spoke about the grid reboot, the gritty grid reboot.
Yep.
Right. Is it gridlocked?
Yes. Sadly, it is. It was meant to release on the 13th of September. That's now been pushed back to the 11th of October. I believe it needs more polish.
More polish.
I think that could be a problem for a lot of games this year, just because the very end, like November, December, is really crowded this year. So any games that slip further and further into the year in development this year could be in problems, no?
Well, I also think that a bit of that is things moving forward a tad, because you don't want to be releasing in the window where next-gen consoles have been announced,
yeah,
and people are just going, I think I'll hold on for a bit, thanks.
Well, interestingly as well, because for years we had this the big release date window of the year would be November. November, bang, all the big games are your Call of Duty and all these kind of things. And then they went, we should really avoid this Call of Duty. It keeps putting a massive dent in our sales. Okay, we're going to start moving forward. So October became the norm. But now everything's releasing in October, so people are going back to November. Come on. And November's looking really busy again this year. It's like we've gone back a few years. It's retro. It's retro, man.
What?
Groovy.
Shut up.
Don't be a square, man. Anyway,
really?
Yes.
Really? Is that the phrase you're going
Don't
with?
Don't be a square, daddy-o.
Don't be a square, man.
For episode 350, he's literally going back to the 50s.
Get on the bus, dude.
Someone actually called me dude non-ironically the other day.
Excellent.
Which I was... just confused me. So like, yeah, that's all right, dude. Yeah, dude. It's like, what?
I might start doing
that. I was expecting a cowabunga to come out next.
Eat my shorts, Dan.
No, eat my dust.
Ah,
that's the 90s reference.
You get
really
a ding for that one.
So what other points have been interested?
Well, we got another delay. Studio MDHR, they're the fellows that made that their Cuphead game, which looks beautiful, mm-hmm, and is insanely hard to play.
Or Mudhuda, as I like to call them.
There's a DLC expansion that was meant to release later this year, I believe, which was called Cuphead The Delicious Last Course. Mm-hmm. That's now been delayed to 2020, and they put out a press release to explain why, and it is desire to avoid the unhealthy crunch on a project that is all too common in the gaming industry.
Well, you know, if indeed that is the case, that is good for them. You know, if that is a genuine reason, which I hope it is a genuine reason, that they're not just jumping on that particular bandwagon, that's good for them. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a way of winning people over. And a little while ago, we had the show where you weren't on. It was just me and Tim, Dan, and we were talking about every time a game gets delayed, it seems to be for add a little bit more polish. We've got to add some more polish to the game. And we were debating, like, what could you say other than add a little bit more polish that becomes the stock thing? And essentially here they've gone, we need to delay it because we need to add more polish, but we don't want to incite crunch because of that polish.
Yes.
So therefore, we need to put it back to next year.
And as we all know, good polish isn't crunchy.
Yeah, don't want crunchy polish. No one wants a crunchy polish.
Jump onto the current trends of the game industry and use your existing excuse, but just bolt that one on the end, then you'll be up a winner.
I mean, we might just be being unnecessarily cynical here, but have you seen the games industry?
Oh, yeah,
ever?
Yeah. Treyarch's the recent one that's getting thrown into the crunch gate, let's call it.
Yeah. Crunchgate.
Crunchgate does not sound right.
No.
Put some WD-40 on that crunchy gate. Make it swing lovely.
Nutty! Roll that out, so it's crunchy nut. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking about weird practices, shocking practices in the gaming industry, let's talk about EA. and not for bad reasons this week. Let's talk about EA Access. We know it's coming to the PlayStation 4. We've already spoken about that.
Mm-hmm.
They've announced the release.
Now I'm not. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll they pissed me off too much.
Moment.
Yeah.
So they've They've announced a release date for EA Access coming to the PS4, and that's going to be available on the 24th of July, so just around the corner. Is this all because of the stuff we were talking about last week, Tim?
Yeah, you're literally upset? I threw my toys out of pram a little bit on Twitter. I actually swore at EA, and I don't often swear on Twitter, but I said, yeah, fuck this, fuck you, and fuck off, as I think I may have mentioned before, that you'll now have to bleep them, so on. But anyway, but yeah, like, literally, they really annoy me on this. I said in my rant on Twitter that I won't be buying FIFA for the third year running because I don't want to be supporting their microtransaction thing.
I've been boycotting it since 2004.
You're well ahead of the curve.
Solidarity with my big red barrel brother here. I won't be getting FIFA. I won't be getting NHL.
I'm not even getting Madden.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys are the best.
Yeah. I mean, when Star Wars comes out, though, sorry, mate, you're on your own.
But to be fair, it's only because I'm all out of cash after buying 18 copies of Destiny on every conceivable format.
I spent all my money on foot packs.
But literally, with not having bought this on Xbox before, I'd given genuine consideration that, okay, I might have to get this then, and then that might come around to me having access. Anyway, but yeah, like... Yeah, I thought it would be a good thing to possibly get into, but then, like, as I said, they've just annoyed me too much with all their nonsense and their surprise mechanic stuff and their defence of the indefensible when they should be actually going, you know what, okay, yeah, this is a bit immoral, we need to actually take a hit here and do the right thing.
I think you'll find immoral is binary, it's not just a shade immoral.
Yeah.
You're either immoral or you're not.
Okay.
Just a little bit immoral.
I mean, I think for me, what bothers me... It's the way they're trying to weasel out of it, like a bloody... It's the weaselly nature of the way
exactly.
They're going about
it. That's the thing that has annoyed me to the point where I'm like, I will avoid buying as many of your games as possible in the future.
I mean, if they just called us... I mean, not that I agree with the practice, but I'd almost, in a weird way, have a bit more respect for them if they called a spade, right?
If they went, well, yes, we are doing this. It's gambling mechanics. How can we approach this in a more responsible manner so that it's not predatory?
Exactly. Rather than trying to dress it up in a pair of glittery pants and calling it surprise mechanics.
Yeah, and insulting everyone's intelligence in the process. But yeah.
I'd like to seem that I'm being more holy than thou, but yeah, I really want Star Wars. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's
the problem.
That might break me.
That is the problem. That is the problem. But I mean, putting that to one side... If you just look at it, if you look at the EA Access back catalogue these days, even at the basic tier, if you don't have many of those games and you're okay with giving EA money, it doesn't actually represent a terrible deal.
Yes,
is all I will say.
Exactly why I was considering doing it now that it was coming to the PS4, but I'm going to hold off now. So, no, you don't get my monies.
What are you going to hold instead?
Moving on swiftly, quickly.
Okay.
Excellent. So we've got new games that are confirmed this week. Ni No Kuni, there will be a sequel to this. It will be done by Level 5 once again. And that should be releasing sometime after the Ni No Kuni movie, which is being released on the 29th.
Ni No Movie.
Ni No Movie. Ni No Nana on the 29th of August in Japan. I didn't know they were making a Ni No Kuni movie.
I didn't know they were either.
I did not? Oh, yeah. I'd heard that. I thought it was good.
Considering I really liked the opening intro to Ni No Kuni and the intro to Ni No Kuni 2 and didn't really play much of the games, I'm more excited for a Ni No movie.
A Ni No movie. Is there going to be a Japanese guy trying to do a Welsh accent? It's what I'm secretly hoping.
Oh, I hope so. Drippy, come back! All is forgiven. Come on, lads. Your mum's dead. We're going to a land of make-believe. Lovely. You seen this lantern on my nose? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Ni No Kuni.
Yep, pretty much.
Anyway, lastly, a new game in the works. It is, I think this is the third Evil Dead game?
I believe you are right.
Yeah, the first two aren't great, but... The first one has an interesting story, which I really like. Bruce Campbell went on Twitter to clarify to everyone that...
He's got nothing to do with soup.
Well, he oh, God. That's awful. That is some low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, right there. Well,
reaching
how many podcasts have you done with me now?
Wow, that was bad. Bruce Campbell...
I know, right?
He went, he went on to Twitter because he wanted to clarify that the new Evil Dead game in development will be on consoles and PC and is not a VR game, which confused a lot of people because they went, there's a new Evil Dead game in the works that hasn't been announced. So apparently Bruce Campbell was dispelling rumors that didn't exist, which leads me to believe, is there actually an Evil Dead game in the works, or is Bruce Campbell in Bruce
just
Campbell world?
Just people.
He might just be doing that, I think.
He's lost the plot now. They've cancelled the TV show, maybe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think he said about...
to the soup kitchen with him.
He apparently mentioned something about an Evil Dead game a little while ago, and nothing got picked up by it at all. And now people are looking back and referencing that over this tweet, and they think around about May 2020 this game might come out, if it does indeed exist, or if it all is just part of Bruce Campbell's brain pigmentation. Who knows?
It could be. Or the Evil Dead is actually Evel Knievel doing a crossover franchise thing with the zombie mode of Call of Duty.
I thought it was all about Kaboom now.
Could be. Mm. I don't know. Him being a freaker, or whatever the kids are calling zombies these days. I don't know.
Anyway, I hope it's true. I like Evil Dead. I like Bruce Campbell. Those two things work. And I love video games. So those things work together.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, that was the best personal ad you've ever written, Colin.
I thought so.
I might have been interested if it was in VR, but apparently it isn't.
Shut up.
Anyway, that's all the news we got this week.
Yeah, we have.
There was one other thing I was going to add quickly, just in case anyone cares.
Of course there is.
But yeah, just we spoke about Daemon X Machina a few times. I'm still not entirely sure if I'm picking the game up.
Was this the game that we were both interested in and then played the game and decided game we both were not interested in?
Maybe not. But I'm still kind of curious. I don't know if, you know, we should go fully on what they released as their early alpha. I'm hoping they'll do a demo again so I can play the, like, you know, final game and see if that's really what it is. But they've just announced that there's a limited edition Orbital limited edition version coming to the UK and Australia as an exclusive, that comes with a copy of the game, an art book, and an 18 centimeter Arsenal statue, which
the football team.
Yeah, I don't think it relates to the football team. I'm assuming
Gunners,
Arsenal are the mech type devices in the game, basically.
Ian, right. Does he still play for Arsenal? I don't know much about football.
Really, really not by quite some time. But anyway.
No, even I know that was a good couple of decades ago, mate.
What's a good Arsenal reference now that the kids will understand?
You could probably literally still do the one from the IT crowd. That
thing about Arsenal is they just try to walk it in.
They do try to walk it.
Yeah. That's still relevant.
There we go.
Right, but that's more because the IT crowd is still culturally irrelevant than...
Not quite as much now, but...
Not so much these days.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that too. But
not many people like Graham Linden these days.
What was that noise? Is someone trying to sneak a little poo out?
Like 100 of his tweets just hit me in the head at the same time and I had a little cry.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I thought you were trying to do a cheeky little poo, Coal Man.
Can we move on?
Let's. Yeah. Tim, why have you got a VR game on this agenda? We've told you before.
He's always got a VR game. He doesn't play games that aren't VR.
You need to bugger off to your own bloody podcast with it.
It's my secret, Dan. I've always got a VR game.
Well, all right, get that out of the way then. What have you played?
Well, this week it's a real good one, actually. Definitely worth reporting.
I'll be the judge of that.
And I've also played Spider-Man.
Look at me and Coleman both selecting the name of that in the agenda to copy and then Google.
Right. No, wait. I need to know about this game quickly so I can then ask questions about Spider-Man, because I totally forgot that was a thing. Come on, let's do this.
Yes, I have also played Spider-Man. And that is not the best thing I've done in VR this week, because Sorrento VR was, by quite a distance. Really good action, first-person slash and shoot 'em up, basically. You're kind of a...
Slashy shoot 'em up.
Yeah, it's a first-person shooter, but you've also got melee weapons and ninja stars and stuff. You're like cyber ninja, In the not too distant future, I think it's like 2066, I think it's saying.
And do you know what, Tim? This game is the VR Fitness Awards Best VR Action Fitness Game of the Year winner of 2018.
Well, how did you know that,
Dan? It's a really highly rated game on... like that was only previously available on other VR platforms, on PC platforms, basically. But it has just come to PSVR as of tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday, which it probably will be.
Because that's when it releases.
Just come out. So as you can probably guess from that, I should mention I got a review code as well. So I got early access to this thanks to Perp Games. Thank you. It's one I've been eagerly anticipating and one I was probably planning on purchasing, to be honest, because it's got such a great reception on PC platforms before. It's Vive and Rift, I think it was. So I think I'm right in saying PC platforms. But
yes, you could buy it from Steam, Oculus, the Vive port, because that's where all the girls hang out, and the Humble Bundle on PC.
But yeah, it's one that's best, and I haven't actually played it with a controller, but I assume it's best, and I have only played it so far with the with two motion controls. I don't even know if you can play it without, but certainly some functionality would be difficult without. But like, the basic premise of the game is that it's in the future. There's some sort of cyber attack thing going on, and you're having
happens
to
a lot in the future, mate. I'll tell you that much.
Basically, just clear out rooms full of enemy cyber ninjas, and there's various
full of bloody cyber shenanigans. The future is.
Some of them are shooting at you, and some of them are just attacking you with swords. But some of the people with swords also have like attacks they can do from the swords at distance as well. It like throws out an energy wave from the sword.
Just bloody cheeky, that is.
You can actually upgrade your sword so your sword can do that back to them as well, which is quite cool. But also, yeah, one of the things that surprised me is that in the loadout, it just goes, there you go, there's all the guns. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right, so you just get into them straight away.
Yeah, I didn't even check before the first level. I was like, I'll unlock some stuff before I go into the loadout. Because I'm kind of trained into doing that from games. But you do unlock things as you progress through the game, but they're like modifiers for the weapons and upgrades, things you can put in upgrade slots for the weapons and for your armor. But generally, like, it's like, yeah, do you want an SMG? Do you want a rifle? Do you want a dual wield rifle? Do you want to have two swords? And like, so much of the game just seems to
revolve. I want all of the above.
Yeah, and or do you want ninja styles? And like, or shuriken? But yeah, like, so much of the game just seems to revolve around, what would be the most fun thing to do for the gamer right now, kind of thing. And I haven't even unlocked all the skills as you go, and I've already unlocked to the point where I think I've got like a triple jump. But basically, like, a lot of the movement in VR games feels restrictive. And this is going in, I was a bit dubious because it's got click turning, which I generally don't favour, and it's got teleportation, which I generally shy away from. But as opposed to Doom VR, where I really didn't get on with the teleportation and the click turning in that, there's times where the click turning still go, I'm like, have I turned 45 degrees, 90 degrees? What's going on here? Like, kind of, I'm
only
still,
you had a pair of eyes that could tell you that information, Tim.
It's still like the sudden movement to that, like, I don't know, it's disconcerting at times when you're not in that familiar with the environment that you were in as you were turning, sort of thing. And when you're moving around quickly, that can be disorientating. But
so is it like it's like you're rooted in Spartan, or just jumping from place to place?
Like, you can just do a teleportation where you press the move button, so it's quite easy, and you can press either move button to do it. So you can just like look in a direction and point and move. So that's quite quick. But the added things you can do to that, if you arc and aim that sort of trajectory upwards a bit, you'll start jumping. And once you start jumping, it slows down time as you're jumping, and you can go initially go into a double jump mid-jump, so you can modify your jump.
That's
and
a
then
triple jump,
jump
son.
But no, but you unlock a triple jump when you can do that again, basically. And I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a sextuple jump.
If I could... yeah, unlock another one. But yeah, it resets when you hit a surface as well. So you could like double jump up to a surface, jump off a wall, double jump up. And it feels very empowering. Also, you can add wall running to that as well. So if you aim it at a surface, it will just run you along the wall. It's not always perfect. And sometimes you kind of run past an enemy that you're then trying to shoot behind you, and it's a bit awkward kind of thing. But generally, like, when you get it down and when you, you know, do a smooth move of like wall running past people and shooting them on the way and shooting two people as you're running past something, like, it really feels great. Like, it really works really well.
About the jumping, the bullet time action to it, do you get the current trend of Hollywood movies when something slows down and it does that weird bass?
Well, basically, yeah, all the sound reacts to what you're doing. So it's more the environmental sounds through there. But like, there was an alarm going off the other day when I was fighting people, and it like slowed down the alarm noise as I was kind of moving around the environment, which, I, you know, or jumping in and out. They call it acceleration, which you can kick off manually as well. So you can just go, oh, I'll go into slow down. And that will slow down. Your chakra power also powers like a few of the other powers, like, as I mentioned, the sword, like wave that you can do from the sword, energy wave that you can do from the sword. That comes from your chakra as well. So
go gadget chakra.
Generally found it at least easier until I've leveled up enough stuff that it's generally easier when I'm going in with either two rifles or a rifle and SMG I'm kind of favouring at the moment. You kind of reload just by like shaking the weapon up or down, basically, so it makes it like really easy to reload most of the time. And yeah, like the melee combat isn't quite as good as something like, say, Raw Data, I think, did it slightly better, but it's still good enough and fun, and you can, like, there's a thing for deflecting bullets, which I've only done a couple of times so far, but feels quite good fun. And yeah, just, like, throwing the shurikens is really cool as well, except for, yeah, I have a problem with that, is I really want to do that with my right hand, but then if I'm doing that for a whole level will get properly exhausting, basically.
So looking at the gameplay, it's a similar kind of looking thing to Robo Recall. I don't know if you played that. I think that was a Rift exclusive, that one.
Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't played it, basically.
Okay. All right, then. So I'm trying to think of a PSVR one. What was that? The Getaway London game recently. Blood and Truth. Yeah, what's the kind of gameplay vibe to? Is it as good as Blood and Truth? Is it better?
Blood and Truth is great for what it is, but as I said, it's more like a Time Crisis thing. You're kind of on a path going from node to node, and there is a like bit of like back and forth you can do between like cover that's side by side, but generally once you've gone forward, you're not really going backwards in that game. This is much more freeform. You can
You're going forwards, you're not going backwards.
You should put that on a motivational poster.
Okay, no, but right, in a Call of Duty game, you can go forwards and then you could turn round and go the other way. You can't turn round in...
Isn't that just going forwards in a different direction though, Tim?
But you know what I mean. There's no going back. It's in linear in one direction. Linear in the true sense of the word. I avoid using the word linear because that's overused in the criticism of game design, and it's not intended. But anyway, getting to the point. Sorrento is much more freeform. You're much just like running around the level. There are levels that have like time limits for you to get to certain areas. And also, like, I've been mainly playing through the campaign, but there are like challenges and other things that help you like unlock more of those upgrades and stuff that I mentioned earlier, and other bits and bobs. But yeah, like, it generally, like, the campaign's lasted, I think I'm on like level 7 or so, and there's no sign of that ending so far. And generally, like, there's the challenges and other stuff, and there's like daily challenges and stuff. They're generally just like a survival thing. One of them's like seemingly a survival thing in one place, and the other one's, I think, progressing through levels. But yeah, like, they just add a bit more to the game. The like initial setup is you're kind of in a sort of a dojo area kind of thing with a big screen, and you can select all the stuff from there. It does a good job of telling you the basic skills, but then it feels a little bit like it throws you in at the deep end a little. But once I got over that little hump and kind of like, oh, I can just go with any weapon and all, and I can do the loadouts, and I can put all these things in them, and I can unlock all these skills and all that type of stuff. It didn't really inform me to go do that any time. I just absolutely go, oh, I've got some of that currency. I should probably spend it. But the actual... as I said, sometimes it doesn't fully work, but when it does, it feels great and very empowering and really good fun, and I've really enjoyed my game time with it. And it's one of those games where I've been thinking about like how I should approach it and different loadouts and like, oh, I should possibly just go in with two swords and see how I do with that type of thing. And like, it's also got, yeah, one other thing I didn't mention is just on all the levels, it's got various different difficulties that you can adjust to either make it slightly easier or in most cases make it harder and give you a better reward for doing so as well. But yeah, like, and it gives you like loads of different like scores at the end of a level for like style points and how many people you kill by sliding, which I didn't mention as a mechanic as well. When you do a jump, you can press a square button on your offhand to like slide into things as well. And yeah, like it's just as I said, a lot of it just revolves around seemingly going what feels like a great thing to make the player feel powerful and have fun doing it, basically. And you know, that's a good game principle that I like and can enjoy. So, yeah.
And remember, kids, when you're going forwards, you're not going backwards.
Yes. But generally, as you can tell, that's a definite recommendation. And Mr. Coleman, I think you should be picking this one up as well.
Yeah, I was literally just looking on the PlayStation Store for it, but it's not even in the pre-order section. So it's a little bit... I was looking at the video alone before you even start talking about sold, I would like this game. When, again, I'm going to go back to Blood and Truth because that's the most recent example of gunplay. Would you promote this over Blood and Truth? If I was to go, right, I want a shooty game for PSVR right now, which one of these am I going to get?
That's difficult. It really depends whether the setup and story of this is nowhere near as good, but also not as intrusive on your game time, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
Like, there will be scenes in A Blood and Truth, which I enjoyed, where you are sitting down having someone talk to you. And I think replaying those scenes might not be as enjoyable. I might try and skip them in the future, but I really enjoyed them the first time round. But if you don't like being taken out at the moment, I'm thinking of Kev here and other people like him, that might be, you know, you might find that less enjoyable. But then I think it added to the like cinematic presentation of that game. Whereas Sorrento feels much more anime and much more Japanese video game in its style of presentation, which it's set in Japan, but it feels very much in that kind of presentation. Like most of the story is a fixed cartoon talking head with text while you're between levels, basically, in that dojo environment. It's got nowhere near the level of polish, but it's a much more freeform game, whereas you're on a more critical path with Blood and Truth, basically. The problem is I generally really enjoyed both of them, would recommend picking up both of them, and they are very quite different experiences, even though they sound like they've got similar aspects, and you know, they do share the common element of being first-person shooters, but they're very different flavoured first-person shooters, basically.
If this was a flavour,
God,
what would it be?
Strawberry Kit Kats.
Ooh. See, I was thinking like an ice cream flavour, and now you've just hit me in a total loop.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking with peanut butter. I don't know.
Wow. All right. Is that Sorrento VR?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Do you want to know the bizarre crossover? Because I'll just be reading up on Sorrento VR.
That's fine.
On their dev site. They've got a crossover with a Japanese firm called Vaxo, which sell a scent generator for virtual reality helmets.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh.
It costs $999 and comes with 3 days of scent.
You've lost me now.
Just so you know, if we did some sort of, you know, thing where people could pledge money to us, I'm forgetting the...
Add smells.
Add name of the platform. That's the type of nonsense that we could be buying ourselves and sent doing for.
So on their little demo website on Vaxo, they've got the smells they've got are fish, okay, ramen,
ramen,
grassland.
Oh, great. So you can forever feel like you're having a stroke in VR.
Yeah, exactly. Grassland and lady.
Lady.
You know they do official...
Have I mentioned they're a Japanese company?
Lady.
Dan.
Lady you, smell. They have a lady smell.
Sorry, not to shy away from the perverseness there, but do you know that there are official Destiny-scented candles?
Yes.
And they're meant to smell like earth and mercury and all these kind of things. And the idea
is... I honestly think those things are such a massive bag of wank.
But you get a ghost to hold your candles for you, so that's quite nice. I was thinking, if there was like a little kit... A little robot.
Dead child holding a candle for
you. No, the robot.
Okay.
I was thinking if there was some kind of, like a aromizer or something, something to just dispense the scent, much like the...
Aromizer?
I don't know what you call them.
An aerosol?
That picture you...
Atomizer.
Atomizer, thank you, sorry.
There I am.
I have one.
I prefer aeromizers.
But like one that
it's
was
like
connected up to
really
the...
really stingy with giving out aeros.
No, you could have one that was like... You remember you had the Alexa Ghost? It was connected to the Alexa and you could ask... Yeah.
Yes.
And that was a criminal waste of money, that thing.
Yeah, how many of them do you have, Dan?
None. I did have one, but then I sent it back because I thought it was a ridiculous waste of money.
That's fair enough. If you had one of those that would then put out the scent... in the room as you're playing Destiny. So you're on Mars now. Here's the Mars scent.
It smells like the Mars bar.
All right. You redeemed yourself with that one.
All right. This is what it would smell like.
That image you've put up, the promotional image, they have literally nicked one of the Oculus Rift promotional images and then Photoshopped their kit over it.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Note the lady smell.
Lady smell.
Mm. Lady smell.
I'm going to cut this bit out because it's weird. Anyway, Tim, moving on with VR.
Yeah.
You mentioned the new free Spider-Man VR for Homecoming. What was the other one? Far From Home.
They
released one for Homecoming, which I recently reinstalled to see if there was any kind of update to it, because it said there were updates in the patch notes, and it's exactly the same. There's no extra add-on or anything. It's still the rubbish. Oh, it's really bad.
Right,
this new one an improvement?
This one is still broken.
Yeah.
In several fundamental game-playing ways.
Sounds great. Where do I sign up?
It wasn't really broken. It just didn't do much.
No, okay. Well, this is possibly more broken. But
excellent.
I had to quit the tutorial like a couple of times just to get through it. Anyway, but yeah, like... and then it boosted me out at the end of it. Anyway, but yeah, like... It's... Yeah. Not great, but for the price of free, definitely worth it.
Okay.
Is it, though?
For the bits that it works... It is worth it. You get to do what you didn't do in the first game, which is swing through a city as Spider-Man.
So you get to do whatever a spider can.
In the last one, you even better, you got to point at a crane and then magically appear on top of that crane.
Wow.
Right, no, this one, you are swinging around. But that city does look like PS1 graphics would be doing it a favor.
Oh.
Basically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I could live with. That's okay. But gameplay is a bit, swing and a miss, almost. But generally...
Oh, really, Tim? Really?
For the moments where it does work, where you are swinging through the city after a big giant thing that you're battling, and you see Spider-Man's legs come up when you do a big swing, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, that was worth it. The whole hour messing around with this thing and it going wrong the first time and me not knowing the skill I needed to do to stop the thing because the tutorial broke twice. That I'll forgive it now because, I saw Spider-Man's legs on a big swing. That's good. That's good enough.
I'll give it a week. I'll wait till I go see the film and then I'll give the game a go as it's free. But, hey. They might patch before then. You never know.
I don't think there's any amount of patching that will save it from being any better than it is. But it is still worth playing and much... Like, if you liked the first one, this is better than that.
Okay. Do you see Mysterio in it?
Boo!
I mean, you got Vulture in the last one. He was rubbish, but you got him.
Literally no reference to the film whatsoever as far as I know.
Okay.
Maybe,
and that film is Spider-Man Far From Home in theatres now.
Maybe the thing you were battling is something in the film
the
that I haven't seen.
The game has nothing to do with it, but also out now.
But
Spider-Man Far From Home, Mysterio, is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? And we'll never know. He's probably a bad guy.
I applaud them for being more ambitious than they were in the first effort as well, because this is a much better effort, so thank you.
Okay.
Jolly good.
Good?
Good.
Yes.
Dan, what have you been playing?
Well, Coal Man.
Yes?
Like you, I have been concentrating on the Mario Maker 2.
How the hell did you know that?
Because it's written on the internet.
Of course, we've got an agenda.
It is written. It is therefore truth stuff. Super Mario Maker 2. I haven't actually technically made anything on it yet. So it's just technically Super Mario 2, but it's not Super Mario 2.
Super Mario not maker.
Yeah.
Super Mario play the makes, or make the play, plays, play ma, when I played it.
Super Mario player.
And so I am, I think, like you, Coal Man.
Hmm.
I'm just playing my way through the story mode.
Yes, I'm constantly fighting my partner to play the story mode because she is also playing the story mode.
I mean, basically, the story mode is a way for them to, as far as I can work out, showcase cool mechanics you can do with the game. And gosh darn it, some of those levels are hard.
They really want you to use switches by the looks of those
they
levels.
They love Switch.
Switches. So yeah, Super Mario Maker,
it's a
build.
Switchception.
Mario Maker 2 is a much bigger build on the Wii U version. There are some functions missing that were in the Wii U version. I'll mention those in a moment. But the second one, brilliant. Kind of taking the initial idea, porting it over and adding some new stuff to it. The story mode being the one to... do you know what? I played through the Wii U version, and it just kind of randomly through levels that they created, and if you had an internet connection, through in some internet other creator generated ones. With the Switch, the addition of the story mode really captured my interest a lot more. And the idea is, we spoke about it recently, you have to rebuild Princess Peach's castle, and in doing so, each part you want to build, you need to fund by getting coins. You get coins for defeating levels and also picking up coins in each level, and that's kind of the fun that I'm having at the moment. The one big problem I'm having with that is the autosave on the game seems to kind of make its own mind up of when it wants to save. And there is no function for you to manually save. The problem I'm having is where I share my Switch with my girlfriend and she has to change profile to play her game. Not a lot of the time, even if I back out of the story mode and into the main menu, I don't know what I've got to do to trigger the autoplay, but I've gone from having the castle 75% complete to 36% complete.
She deleted your save, mate, is what she did.
She's not deleting my save. She's just switching the profile and playing her own version. But last night, I defeated loads of levels, came back to it today, and those levels need redoing because it suddenly doesn't remember that I've done them. So that bit's quite annoying. But the actual story itself, I'm really enjoying. I'm just a little bit frustrated because I found the most balls hard level yesterday, spent a good hour beating it, finally did it, and then realized on my way home from work, oh, it doesn't know I've beat that level.
I know. So I've got to do it again. Someone might be getting their girlfriend for Christmas.
Was that the level where you can't, because there's a couple where you can't jump.
It's no, they're fine. I can do those easy. It is called Get Over It.
Is an absolute
it's a level which is mostly it's not just a scrolling level, but it's an auto scrolling level with a lowering toxic pool that you've got to avoid, and you've got to grind down walls as you're doing it to kind of slow down your momentum, but you've got to make sure you don't go slow enough to go off the screen, but at the same time not fast enough that you're going to go into the sludge at the bottom, and then avoiding all buzzsaws and all manner of things like that. That one is doing my head in.
It's pretty hardcore, I'm not gonna lie. Some levels, but I mean I actually think it's a really good thing, because I mean, this is the first, I didn't play the original Mario Maker. But I can imagine one of the things was going, right, I've got this really cool toolbox I can use to make stuff. I've got no inspiration or idea of the things that you could do to build it. Whereas I think it's great that they have kind of put these Nintendo-created levels in, which kind of give you an idea of what is achievable with the tools that there are. Have you delved into, like, the endless level mode with, like, stuff created by users yet?
No, not yet. I'm just, it's story mode, and then I've had a mess around in the creator itself. But the difference I found to the Wii U version is the Wii U version, a lot of the creator stuff was locked behind time sensitive barriers, we'll say. So after 5 days of playing the game, I go, congratulations, you've been playing the game for 5 days. Here is a special kind of warp pipe you can now use in creator mode. And that stuff really, really ground me down because there were a lot of things. I had an idea of what I wanted to make and immediately couldn't make the level I wanted to make because the items just weren't unlocked yet. And it required a lot of play to unlock everything. So that's really why I just stopped playing the game itself. Now it's on the Switch. First of all, that time system is gone. They don't do that anymore. So I'm more inclined to sit down and actually create levels. But I'm really enjoying the story mode at the moment where I'm not going in and creating the levels yet. Plus, I like that it's introducing me to new elements that I didn't know about. The Happy Moon, for instance, we spoke about, and the idea that there's always new things where you can turn levels upside down and have nighttime modes and things that aren't in these initial Mario games but exist within Mario Maker 2. And I can't wait to make some horrible troll style levels.
Yep. Although I have to say, I thought, all right, I've played in the Nintendo creator stuff now. I'm going to do the kind of the endless mode with the community levels. First level I played, giant cock and balls made out
Hooray!
Of coins. I was like, don't go changing on me, internet. but obviously, at the moment, I wouldn't say it's probably been out long enough for people to really be doing the awesomely cool stuff you can. And it hasn't had long enough for the kind of the gold, the really good gold stuff to find its way to the top. But, you know, I think it's great. I'm absolutely loving it. Just having, you know, even if you don't create a thing, having endless Mario levels at your fingertips, which you can now, unlike the previous version, which is good because it's the Switch, you can actually download and play whilst offline as well. So great stuff. Love it.
It is the perfect Switch mobile game as well. And I love that I can just, you know, it's one of those things on the Switch. I know the Switch, everyone knows it. You can put it in the cradle, play it on the TV, and then take it out of the cradle and then take it on the move. I very rarely put something on the TV because the Switch is my portable console and then everything else I play on the PS4. I'm playing this with my girlfriend at the moment. She's playing her levels, I'm playing mine. And we had a moment where she was partway through a level and went, can I play this later? I'm not sure. So should I pause it, put the thing into sleep? And then as we were getting ready to go out, quickly whipped it out of the cradle, put it in my bag, and we get on the tube and then pull out the Switch and go, here you go, you can carry on with your level. She's like, just witchcraft, this is amazing, I can take my games out on the move, this is insane.
It's
those little details that you know we're used to it, but it's not until you find something that you want to play on both systems that you're really truly blown away by that technology. Super Mario Maker is great, and I'll probably talk about it a couple of weeks to come, because there are a lot of things I want to do with this game. Kev, from Barrelcast, I am coming for you.
Yes. Has he actually bought a Switch now?
He has bought a Switch. He has bought Mario Maker 2. I have let him know that I have been waiting for this day. I want revenge for the Wii U. And I fully intend to dedicate myself to this properly.
Excellent. Well, I say let's torture Kev from afar with Mario Maker levels. Although, somewhat annoyingly, being a Nintendo-type solution to online play, your maker code is different than your friend code.
Yeah, that's... What's the point of the friend list on the Switch? Because I've not seen a single use for it other than seeing what my friends are playing.
That is it. That is the only thing it does.
And they seem to have left the Nintendo Switch Online app for your phone just to wither on the vine as well. which frankly is the correct response for that.
I would love to see the numbers on how many people in the world have actually used it. I bet it's in like 3 digits maximum.
I have Nintendo Online installed on my phone, but I don't know why. I think they sent me an email saying Nintendo Online app is now available. And okay, I have a Switch. Okay, I'll just install that.
That's what I did.
Now what?
I know, right?
I just got a pretty block on my phone that sits next to the Xbox box, the PlayStation
block. What I miss,
Hell,
Miitomo. I like Miitomo. That was great while it lasted.
I wish Miitomo was still around so I could go in and cancel all the friend routes that I have on there. Because I get all these requests from people I don't know because they're from Twitter and like randoms, like friends of friends and stuff. Miitomo was a... I liked playing around with Miitomo while it lasted for a couple of weeks, but there's things on that I wish I did. Like, I wish I didn't accept all these friend requests. It's very silly.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway, Super Mario Maker 2, it is a definite recommend. I really, really like that game. And it's one of those rare brand new releases where I'm happy to pay a full price for that game.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, if you shop around, you can definitely get it for cheaper than on the eShop. I bought my copy from CD Keys.
Oh.
And I got that for $39.99.
Okay. You know not I did, to use I... them, though, yeah? Aren't they the ones that everyone's
no,
talking
CD
about?
Keys no, CD Keys are all right.
You're thinking of G2A.
Right, that's
you're,
the
G2A
one.
Or Kinguin okay. or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
CD Keys, despite okay. the fact that it's CD, as in it makes it sound CD, yeah. but it isn't, Tim. That might be where you go wrong, you little scamp.
That'll be it.
Actually is... You know, it's
Chaz and Dave.
Yeah,
Chaz
it's Chaz and Dave, mate.
Games online. That,
big
I,
fans
I
of Chaz and Dave.
Love them.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say quickly, I did mention there are some things missing from the game, and the biggest stinger for me, and this is a big shock to a lot of people around the world, they took out the amiibo costumes.
They did.
They did. When you created levels initially, if you had the correct amiibo, so for instance, I have a Sonic amiibo, I could go, okay, scan that Sonic amiibo, and it would make a little costume block. If you played my level and hit that block, your character would then turn into Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, that would be
and it was
cool.
the like proper, not even Mega Drive, you were playing like in the original, it was the Master System looking Sonic the Hedgehog, and I really liked it. Even though he didn't control like Sonic, he controlled like Mario in a Sonic skin. It was very odd, but... That kind of stuff, that's all gone. There's no amiibo functionality in this whatsoever.
Well, actually, thinking about it, Nintendo seem like they've slightly stepped back. Yeah, slightly cooled their jets, as it were. Thank you, Tim, on the whole amiibi situation.
I don't blame them. They seem to be going for their fulfillment of, hey, we added new characters to Smash Brothers in Smash Brothers Ultimate, so we are going to make new amiibo for those Smash Brother characters. But other than that, it doesn't seem like they're announcing new ones. I don't really mind. All I wanted was a lineup of Smash Brothers. I thought they looked cool. I will finally do that. It's fine. But the Mario Maker thing, it was just a really cool thing. If you had any kind of, like Tim's got a Yoshi Woolly amiibo, you know, you could use that in the game and make a little Yoshi skin. And, you know, there are amiibo that were thrown in with games and stuff. So if you had one knocking around, there was a nice little cool thing you could do. But, yeah, that functionality is completely gone. The other thing that's gone, which I'm not sure why they got rid of it, I don't know if it was just because it was so creepy, is the Wario mushroom. I don't know if you guys remember, there was a Wario mushroom. If you collected it, Mario got really lanky and nightmare-looking. And controlled differently.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, he doesn't exist anymore. He was only on the Wii U version. And as well, the ease of creating the... You don't realize how well the Wii U worked with Mario Maker on using the tablet in conjunction with the TV. With the Switch, which is arguably the more suited to using the touchscreen, has a better touchscreen interface, doesn't utilize the touchscreen as well as it did on the Wii U. And I think that's just because if you have it docked, then you have to use controllers. So they've really put the effort into making it easier to use with controllers, and it takes some getting used to if you're used to the way of creating stuff on the Switch. But yeah, it's just a shame. You have this amazing platform for touchscreen, and they don't utilize it as well.
Surely it'd be better to like build on the TV and then play in handheld mode kind of thing, no?
No, I think it's better to build on handheld mode, because like you could waste some time if you're doing a long commute and you've got a Switch and you've got Mario Maker, then you could be building up your level. And much like what's that one you've been playing, the battle game on the Switch that you read, Wargroove,
right?
Wargroove, you can create levels,
yes.
And it works with PC and it works with Switch,
yeah, yeah.
And all this stuff. Like, you could take your Switch out and start mastering, creating these levels, fine-tuning them, get home, upload them to the internet, and then play them on the PC and stuff. I really like that idea, and that was a really appealing thing for me that isn't quite there, but I guess I can still use it for that. Again, I think you could create tracks on Modern Nation Racers and then play them on the PS3.
Yeah, don't say those set of words to me.
Funnily enough, Dan, I know it wasn't a great racer, but I really liked the modding aspects of that game. So there we go.
Yeah. So
anyway, I like the modding and the racing. So
yeah, but you like Rise.
Yeah. The point I'm trying to get at is there's some stuff taken out of Super Mario Maker before Super Mario Maker 2. The things they've taken out, I really miss, but at the same time, the things they've added are really good.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a really good set of tutorial modes as well, even though they are non-interactive, the tutorials about how to build levels. So they're well worth checking out as well. But no, it's good times. Love it. Love me some Super Mario Maker. Makes me happy in my happy places.
I really hope they add in the ability to play online games with friends rather than with randoms, because that's a very, I don't know why they, it seems very boneheaded that that isn't there at launch.
Yeah, but not that surprising, bearing in mind how Nintendo thinks the internet works.
It's 2019.
Yes, but have I introduced you to Nintendo and their internet department?
We are at the current pinnacle of online gaming. Yep, like, we've never had it this good. Nintendo just haven't worked it out. I want to play games online with my friends and not randoms that are going to fall off the flipping edge and bump into me. It's not that. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not that hard. It's not that hard to get the concepts, not to actually create it. I hope that's patched in, because I'd like to play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I've got to say on Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, and all I've got to say as well. And I was going to talk about F1 2019, but we've run out of time. So
sorry.
I'll talk about that next week instead.
I was really excited.
No, Tim, it doesn't have a VR mode.
Aww.
You know what does, though?
What? Real life?
Hold on. Looking at random VR. Catan VR! Get in on that. There we go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah!
Boom!
You'll be pleased to know, though, Dan, I'll be talking about Catan next week, but not the VR game.
Oh, okay. Because
I thought that would make your head explode if I talked about VR games 3 weeks running.
I will send people after you.
I'm tempted to go buy a VR game ready for next week.
I will end you.
That doesn't sound very threatening coming from you.
Really?
I will end you.
I know that anatomical places from which I can end you, Coleman.
All right, more scary.
It's part of my training.
That's much more scary.
It is, right?
It's not as threatening when you say it, but when your butler turns up, I mean, he can be a bit mean.
Well, he's like Alfred.
Yeah,
he's in the SES.
He's not a gentle lover either. You've got to be, you've got to be quite careful.
Master Gibbons, shall I dispose of this ruffian?
Zip.
Shall we end?
Anyway, I think we should. Tim?
Yes?
Tuesday.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, Dan. And for anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. Each and every week, feature game. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening.
Lorks a mercy.
Mercy a lorks.
From having been messing around as cops and robbers last month, we've moved into our July of exploration. And this week's game is a game called Exploriana, which is, you know, nice and exploratory. But yeah, it's a set collecting game. It's quite good. It's one that we talked about before in Big Red Barrel, because I think we were sent a copy of the Kickstarter version. But yeah, like, it's a decent little game. It should be quite good fun. Should make for a good prize. For anyone that doesn't know, there are more details on bigredbarrel.com in the top left-hand corner of the website. You can also join the over 1,750 plus people on our Meetup group. And just search for Tabletop Tuesday on Meetup. And yeah, come along and join us, and you could possibly win a game just by playing it on a Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston, London.
Splendid. So bigredbarrel.com, meetup.com.
Tabletop Tuesday, 9th of July at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London, for Exploriana. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. We appear to have shout-outs this week after ignoring them and not doing proper shouting-outy thing that we should do with them. We've got an absolute bumper buttload of them. I would like I would like to, I'm just saying this now, and for reasons that will become apparent, I want Tim to do the Facebook shout out. So, from the Twitters, I would like to say thank you to Nelly, Mark Fraser, Gabriel, and Jax Champion.
And also thank you to Neil Aiken, Richard Kirk, Norman Wazir, and Will Driver.
And for Facebook...
And Louie with the boys.
And Facebook, we would like to thank Matt Austin, who says to tell Dan that we all love VR.
We Sorry, all love VR, Dan.
I didn't catch it, Dan. That. So what? Didn't, no, didn't hear it. Didn't know what?
You'll have to listen one day. And no. Also, I'd like to thank Fred Goddard and Thomas Goibun.
I believe that's Tomas.
Tomas?
Yes.
I can't pronounce the last name.
You might have to let us know how that's phonetically spelled out.
Mate. Oh, no, I've got it. I've got it right. It's Tomas Goibun.
He is the long-lost brother of MC Scrobble Double.
Tomas!
Yes, thank you very much, one and all.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So thank you. We're always very humbled when you take time to say nice things, or even if you don't have nice things, say just letting us know how we can be better. That's also welcome as well.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's your lot, pretty much. Make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or bit.ly/brbdiscord or discordbrb. It's one of the two. I always forget which one it is, but that's where our Discord lives. And you should come along and say hello.
Hello.
That is also available to join on the front of bigredbarrel.com.
Indeed it is.
Well, BigRedBarrel.com.
Oh, Christ, we can't start doing bloody more impressions again. So we're
going
to have to go.
Simon with the girls.
Oh. Right.
Ollie Mars.
Oh, dear. Smells like chocolate.
Rachel Abadawa.
And I think this is probably a good time to disappear, so we're going to. So thank you ever so much for listening and for downloading us once again. We shall probably be back next week, per usual. But in the meantime, I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'll try to plan something for 400.
Good. Get thank you.
No promises.
Thank you, disembodied X-Factor voiceover man.
Think I'm stuck like this now?
Good. Right, we're going to go. So thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Ta-ta!
Swat.
Like a massive belly, Chris Coleman.
It's time for Ant and or Dex Saturday Night Takeaway.
Okay, now you're going a bit. Now you're going a bit Matt Berry.
Absolute Radio.
Christ, I'm stopping now.